Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on as the world has become a safe place once again? Is it not amazing how from day to day and week to week we have just changed and we now see that we are in a safe place, that no matter what is going on around the globe, no matter what's going on here, no matter how bad earnings are, nothing takes away the market's ability to now go once again to the upside. Now, it's interesting when you look at it and how just overnight, it was just a week ago, overnight, all of a sudden we became again the safe place. We turned around and said, okay, we're safe now, so let's go back. I mean, this is, you know, I love to use the comparison from the marathon man, you know, Dustin Hoffman, and is it safe? You know, Laurence Olivier, is it safe? So, you know, look, we know the same. Nothing has changed, right? It's the same crap that we always have. And right now, as you look, you watch, we are calling it, you know, it's the thirst or the hunger for yield, where you're going to have investors looking for that money. And unfortunately for them, and unfortunately for the stock market bubble that is being built right now, as we have that big, gigantic air pump pumping it up with air, we have loaded up the boat. You know, we could look at it as Noah's Ark, okay? But instead of going two by two, we're getting everybody on one side. But now the problem with our boat is we're putting everybody on one side of the boat. There is no balance. And I would venture to say that in most portfolios, there is no balance. And you say, what's the problem with that? Well, the problem with that is we know that eventually there will be another market meltdown. Now, again, I'm not here creating fear, but when you look at wealth that is built through the equity market, it's great, with the exception of if you're at the end of the line of your investing year career, and you're at the point in time where you are now looking to take that money and it melts down and all your money melts down with it, you're not in good shape. So you can listen to the so-called experts telling you, you know, yeah, just keep going and getting that dividend play because you never have to worry. You're going to get the dividend and you're not going to lose your money. And, you know, of course, we all know that's a bunch of crap. But if you're at the end of your line, and you don't get, and you get the meltdown, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, it's one thing if you're 20 or 30 and you have time to recover. It's another thing if you're 60 or 70 and you're trying to protect yourself, okay? But for anybody, there is no reason for anybody's portfolio to ever melt down ever again. And it's something that we've talked about here on the show often. But, you know, again, you told you how to get a hold of me. And if you're interested, great. You know, reach out to me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. But to be blind and to throw money recklessly at this market. And how do I say recklessly? Well, margin debt is at record highs. Merger and acquisitions are crazy. Company buybacks are ridiculous. Yet all this is happening under a market where the companies that are in the market are not anywhere near to making their earnings. The only money they're making is from buying back their own stock and having their own stock appreciation. And think about that. Is that not a Ponzi scheme type of environment? You keep getting new money to pay for old money. You're borrowing new money to pay old debt. And eventually, the new money runs out. Okay? You know, so if you believe, and again, I don't want you to be bearish the market. I don't want you to sell the market like you think it's going to go down. My warning is simple. Is no problem. Stay in the stock market. No problem. Stay in, you know, the stocks you like. But at least take the time and the opportunity to protect what you have and learn the way to hold it all together. So when it does come, you'll be ready. You'll be dancing. Now, you know, you'll say, well, how is that possible? And I'll say that, you know, it's easily done and easily taken care of if you want to take the time to do it. Now, you look at the overall scenario. You look at the overall situation. And if you let it slide by, you know, you're making that mistake. You're making that crucial mistake once again by not taking care of your own business. And that is always, to me, is tragic when we, and you know, I include everybody, think that the inevitable can't happen, because we know that it can. Not only do we know that it can, you should know deep down that it will. I mean, why would anybody, and I would love to hear from you, if you can tell me why this time is different, the four most dangerous words in the English language, especially for investors. If you can tell me why this time is different, I would love to hear from you. Because I will tell you, it's never different. And we are unfortunately creating the biggest bubble of all time. You know, in 2008, you didn't have to only go into the stock market. You had the bond market. You had the housing market. Now, listen, they were all bubbles, but you had more than one choice of where to go. Today, you have one choice, and they've got everybody making that same choice. And that, my friends, becomes the problem. So if you don't think that this is a bubble, please think again, okay? Don't be like Pete Rose. Don't admit, don't try to hide from the fact that you do have a problem, okay? Because Pete Rose's problem is that he refuses to admit it. Well, the markets right now are the same thing. But we all know Pete Rose is banned for life from baseball. And one of the biggest reasons, not only that he broke the rules, but he's banned because he won't admit that he has a problem, so they don't think that he can do anything. And the markets are going to earn a bubble because we won't admit it, and we won't take the proper steps to relieve the pressure off the bubble, which can easily be done. But, of course, that's a story for another day, because our wonderful Federal Reserve and, of course, our good friend Janet Yellen, who continues to be two-faced, as we talk about. You know, she talks out of both sides of her mouth, and certainly hasn't said anything over the last, since I can remember, except a bunch of double talk, okay? But, hey, listen, bottom line, hedge your portfolio, protect that money, but learn to do it properly so that not only does the hedge protect you from the downside, but then does bring you in some potential extra yield as well. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I love playing some of the clips I do. And, of course, last week at the same time, I was hanging out with Varney. Actually, it was Charles Payne filling in for Varney. But I'd like you to go back and hear what I said, and you can kind of compare to where we are right at the moment. So let's go back to the Varney show with me and the crew, and let's hear what we had to say there.
And get this, guys. We just got in news from that big Eurozone meeting, you know, the one that's going to save the continent. Well, the Greek leaders just showed up without a new proposal. So that is the latest from there as our markets are just about to open here in about 10 seconds. Remember, higher openings have generally seen a slower, really drift into the middle of the session and even sometimes massive sell-offs into the close. So we are hearing the ringing bell, the ringing of the opening bell right now. We will check on a big board, slight move to the upside. We probably get maybe a 30-point bounce. We'll see. Hey, joining us, we've got Liz McDonald back, Sandra Smith, but also Todd Horowitz is in Chicago, and Jared Levy is in Dallas. First off, guys, nothing from Greece. Sandra, your opinion on
that? How do you do that? How do you just show up empty-handed to, like, the most crucial meeting that there has been to date? How do you do that?
Well, here's my thing, E-Mac. Considering the story of that old horse that they came with one time, maybe coming empty-handed is good, but listen, this is the belligerent Greek people that have said, up you, shove off, we don't care what we owe you. This seems part and parcel of the game theory that's worked for Cyprus, but not the rest of the world.
Right, what do we expect? This is how we won election, right? This government, because they said no to anything that to what the European zone wants. I'll tell you, the next big deadline to watch is July 20th. That's when $3.9 billion is owed to the ECB from the Greek government. Watch a lot of volatility there, and you know what? I'm telling you, this is a big hit to the eurozone. It's $540 billion that Greece owes to the eurozone. They're going to have to raise a lot of money via the bond markets to cover those losses.
Tell me what you're saying. That's the next big deadline. And then what happens? Well, so that deadline passes.
More volatility, more basically contraction in the eurozone because they're going to have to raise taxes to pay off.
Yeah, they can't raise taxes because they can't. They can't.
They're going to have to. There's no other way.
They can't raise money in the bond market because they don't have any currency. And Todd, I think between now and July 20th, the world will implode if we don't get something. Even if they believe, we need to put this thing to bed.
Good morning, Charles. Look, when you're running a Ponzi scheme, which is what Greece is, they take in, they give out six times more than they take in. They're waiting. They're trying to hold everybody hostage, and they're trying to make the IMF and the Eurozone come to them and say, we're sorry, we'll bail you out once again. And that's not going to be the case. And I think that Merkel is the only one who's really celebrating because I think Merkel wants to throw them out. And if they leave voluntarily, which is what they're trying to do here, waiting for the euro to come back to them, I think that that gets them out. And it takes Merkel off the hook because she really doesn't want him in anyways, I think, at this point.
You just have to decide what's worse, right? If they exit, it's just going to be a horrible situation.
Yeah.
They stay in, it's pretty ugly, but it's the better of the two, right?
Well, yeah, and I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. Also, we got to take a look at oil because it got slaughtered yesterday. It got hammered really good. Todd, up a little bit this morning, but now it's pulling back again. What exactly is the message of the crashing of oil prices?
I think the first thing is, Charles, is we trapped a lot of people on the big rally when we came up. So now we're having a major sell-off, a lot of fear, a little bit of China, a little bit of growth. We know we haven't had true growth, although we continue to hear reports that we are seeing it. I think you're going to see oil probably find a pretty good level of support down here around the 52 level. And I think if you're playing here, you want to be a buyer. If you go back and look, the oil stocks, Halliburton, Occidental Petroleum, they tipped this sell-off off a couple of weeks ago. That we were going to see some pressure. I think we saw it. I think it was a panic sell-off. I think this is probably a pretty good opportunity to step in and buy.
Although, Sandra, some are saying supply, demand, because more supply coming on after this Iranian deal is signed.
That could happen.
Yeah.
U.S. Dollar strengthening, too, right?
U.S. dollar stronger. But, I mean, to the degree that oil's come down, the correlation is pretty different. I mean, we're down 10% this month. What about China?
But remember what happens in the oil market. Once prices get low enough, a lot of things start changing, particularly with U.S. oil production. You get oil prices coming down, you're going to have a lot of production taken off, and then those lower prices cure those lower prices, and prices come back up.
And to your point, we've already seen massive, massive cuts of rig count. I mean, just massive in this year already. So it won't take a lot to change that dynamic. All right, let's take a look at the Shanghai Composite. Down about 30% since the middle of June. Sandra, everyone's looking at Greece, but here's the deal. China lost over $3 trillion in the market in the last 3 weeks. And a lot of people think maybe is reflective of the overall economy, and they can no longer mask what is an unmitigated disaster.
I was reading a headline somewhere that the Chinese stock market has lost something like 10 times the GDP of Greece in this sell-off.
Yeah.
This has been a huge sell-off, and a big story developing is that a lot of the shares have just been halted of these Chinese stocks and these companies. The company's not saying why, but basically this is in an effort to stem the losses there, and so these companies stop losing value in this, what is a very messy situation.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. You had 1,600 companies there that were down 10% in the daily stop limit, down again 1%. You have IPOs that have been halted. And those companies that you talk about, Sandra, that have halted trading, their value combined $1.4 trillion. So this is not a small effort to stem this tide.
Yeah, new, you know, manufacturing services data coming out of China shows continuing to slow down.
Here's the thing, Todd. You know, I think it's a combination, and not necessarily frenemy, but we take some, I don't know, we kind of like it when China slows down a little bit, but they slow down from 10% to 7% to 6%. We're sort of cheering. Is this exactly what we want to see at this time with a very fragile global economy?
I don't think we want to see exactly what's going on in China, but I think it was fairly easy to predict. You know, Charles, when you keep trying to infuse funds, when you keep lowering your interest rates, you know, China's had problems for years that we've ignored. They had the hidden cities, which they've never devalued, and they're still showing in their balance sheet. You've got them, they were allowing copper to be used for loan value at the banks, so they had to manipulate the price of copper. So when you continue to manipulate markets, at some point, it has to give. If you don't show true growth and you don't show true earnings, and real dollars, eventually the bubble has to burst. And I think we're seeing the bubble burst. We had a monster move, and now they're telling Chinese traders you can't short
right.
anymore either.
Right.
That even adds more fuel to the fire that makes me want to sell.
And, of course, we've been on that bandwagon for quite a while now of selling into China, into those big, ridiculous rallies. Because, again, when you artificially try to prop an economy, you typically end up with what you're ending up with, which is the bubble bursting, bombs bursting in air, and especially in a communist environment where you've always got something tricky going on, and certainly China is no stranger to manipulation, to trying to force their economy. And God knows where it really is, right? We know there's a billion people. We know that there's still an extreme amount, that as much as we hope and want them to establish a middle class, we know that that's a bunch of hogwash and the big deal. But they are opening up and they are seeing tons of trading action. But, of course, they've also manipulated that, right? They've stopped the short selling. They've closed a lot of the stocks that were going down. And so you can see by the action that there's genuine concern. Now, are we going to sit back and continue to ignore like we do? I mean, so far, to me, it seems like what we do best is we ignore issues, we ignore problems, and we continue to try to move forward and, as they say, kick the can down the road. And the road is getting shorter, and there is so many issues that are out there as we approach into this earnings season, and kid yourself not, this is going to be a very, very bad earnings season. Now, how much of it's been priced in? It's hard to imagine much of it's been priced in based on where the equity market is. Because, as we know, last Friday, they solved all the problems of the world because the markets were up 200 and something points. So, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But this is where you, the trader, you, the investor, have to say to yourself, you know what? I need to protect my portfolio. I need what Bubba and Badger got, right? Because, look at it this way, okay? You're putting yourself in a position where for no money, basically, you can protect yourself forever. Now, doesn't that make more sense? Are you not investing for the future? Now, this is a subscription model, and there's going to be a cost, but I recommend, and I'm telling you, to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. If you're not quite sure and you want to get a general idea of what we're doing, I do have a video or a webinar that I did, which I'll be happy to email to you. Just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and ask for details or say, I want that webinar. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
In other words...
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare. Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz hanging out with you, and as I like you to hear, you know, things that I say throughout the week, because obviously as much as I would like to be with you every minute of the day, I can't, and I always like to relay what I'm thinking and where I'm going. So this was me on BNN with Michael Hainsworth. Check it out, as we like to share some of the stuff we do. So here's me with Michael Hainsworth on BNN.
94-point gain, NASDAQ up by 5, but still below that psychological 5K mark. Let's take you to Chicago now to speak with the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com for perspective. We got Todd Horwitz on the line. Todd, good to see you again.
Great to be on, Michael.
So what happened between this morning when we had fears of a Greece fire, an Iranian nuclear ambition, and Chinese economic meltdown, to today in the after hours where we're now up?
You know, Michael, it's always interesting to watch how traders and investors react to a market. And this morning, they couldn't have been afraid anymore. And by midday, they decided that they had made a mistake. And of course, we talk about short covering rallies and how they start to beget. And of course, if fully fueled all the way to the close, the markets are still going up after the close here. And again, what you've got is a market that's really getting ready to, I think, turn over. You know, I've been on the bearish side of this market for quite a while, so it's not a new story, but this is more price evidence, knowing that now we're seeing much more price volatility every day. The price ranges are becoming bigger, which to me indicates that the market is searching for a real reason to go down and sustain that downward growth. But every time we get down 4 to 5 to 6%, buyers step in, force the shorts to cover, and push it back up. But what we're seeing here now is lower highs coming in, and I think that sooner than later, we will start to see this market correct. We came right down to a legitimate stopping point this morning where we should have bounced. We bounced. Now let's see what happens here. I think we're right here, 2090 in the S&P, I think is a real key level. I think we stay below it, and I think we work our way back lower.
It feels like oil's been down so long and don't know what up is, Todd. So give us a sense as to where else you're playing as opposed to oil itself.
You know, oil was amazing, and of course, it did come down. We saw that puke bottom at 50, and it's now rallying. It's back over 53. I think you want to look into the other spaces of oil, either oil-related, or you want to look into some alternatives. But I think that you want to look into some of the natural gas spaces. I'm looking into Chesapeake. Had a pretty big pop today, bigger than I'd like to now recommend it, but I thought earlier when it was up about 40 or 50 cents, it was a pretty good buy. I think you want to look at a stock like Rig. I think that's a nice play down here around the $15 level. And again, for those with a little stronger heartbeat, you know, the actual crude itself, I think, is probably a play that comes back down to 50. I think you're going to see this range now back up to 57, look for some selling. We're working our way the other way of the channel. I think gold looks awfully good here. As bad as the chart and as bad as it looks, I think that this is a great spot. I'm not going to say take all your money and everything you're willing to allocate to gold and jump in, but if you're looking for a spot and you want to allocate, you know, 20% of what you think you might want to invest, I think this is a good spot to try to pick a bottom. You know, gold is going to go up in value. It's a hard asset. It's not going to expire. It's not going to get rotten. It may go down. It may go up right away. But one thing you know for sure, you're going to hold it in your hands, and I think it's a pretty good buy right down about here.
It was suggested to me as well that when we look at weakness in crude oil and natural gas, that you've got an opportunity to look at alternative energy stocks. Are you playing in that space?
You know, I like the solar stocks. You're really here for a bounce. I'm not solar itself. I'm not a big believer in solar as solar because we obviously big oil still controls. But I think for a play, solar stocks have gotten pounded down with oil. Take a look at First Solar, Canadian Solar. The best of the bunch is Solar City. It looks the best. It's held the best. I think at the 50 level, it's a great buying opportunity. That seems to be a great support level. And Solar City, they all have the opportunity to make extremely large moves. They're all extremely volatile and go up and down very quickly. So I think Solar City, out of those three, has A, the best chart pattern. B, when you've got Elon Musk who can talk things up behind you, you got a great chance he can make a good analysis and have it push it up for you as well.
Yeah, you got to have a strong stomach if you want to get in on Solar City, don't you? Isn't the beta on it something like 99% more volatile than the S&P 500?
You know, well, again, you have, if you want to take some of these trades that we talk about sometimes, you have to have a cast iron constitution, as they call it. You got to be ready for some wild movement. Look at Canadian Solar. It was just 40. It's now 26. Okay, First Solar was just 70. It's now 48 or 46. So these are the area, if you're trading, those are the stocks you want to play in. If you're investing, those are really not great investing stocks. Those are more for active traders, in my opinion. I do like the space to trade. I think when it gets beaten down, you want to be a buyer. I think that's the model you look for, is when something gets beaten down into an area that's going to most likely still be in business. I think those are great ones to play.
Solar City, before we let you go, one more thing on this. I see street consensus, $85. Do you really see the stock virtually doubling over the course of the next 12 months yourself?
No, I don't really see it going to $85. Me right now, I'd be very happy at 58. I think it goes from 50 to 58. That's where my resistance goes. Maybe it goes in the 60s, but at 58, I'll be unloading and tightening up my stop and maybe looking to get short.
Todd, you're a shining light on solar. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Todd Michael. Horowitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com in Chicago.
So as we look at, you know, what is going on, and we look at, you know, at the solar space, and I'm a fan. I mean, you know, again, I've always been a fan of solar, you know, for trading purposes. Again, not for investing. I mean, you know, again, if you want to be in the solar space, I think it's a highly volatile, highly risk, not big dividend payers, not big things. So I think that, you know, when you look and you go, oh, okay, that makes sense, I think that that's what you want to look for. You want to look for those opportunities. I mean, but I do believe, especially now, that the hard asset spot is what we're looking for. I think, you know, you want to start to move yourself into hard assets. I think you're finding that the overall view of markets, you know, we've got earnings season. We're at very near, you know, tops of the market. And I think that, you know, that is something that, you know, you have to look at and say, wow, I mean, maybe we are a little bit overdone here. And that is always something, but you want to look for opportunity. One of the keys to being a good trader is looking and having the shot to take your opportunity and make sure that you get the best out of it. And, you know, those higher beta names are always interesting to trade because when you see them, you find out that, you know, they do make the big moves. And of course, one of the things that we pride ourselves here at the Bubba Show is we always know how much risk we're willing to take. So when you identify that and you say, okay, I'm going to take X amount of risk, you find yourself that if you trade the higher beta names, that, you know, your risk is the same. It doesn't matter low beta, high beta. Your risk is always the same. So if you put yourself in that position, you will then find yourself saying, oh yeah, that does make a lot more sense to me, because what we're getting is we're getting opportunity to get some very nice hits, very nice home run trades just because of that, okay? What we're allowing ourselves is the opportunity to create good, solid, winning trades based on levels. And when you get more volatility in the market, which we're starting to see, you get many more opportunities to trade. So this is what I talk about. Embrace the opportunity of volatility. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it, because as you embrace it, you will see that you're going to have many more opportunities to create value and value proposition trades that will give you that much better opportunity for success. And, you know, I mean, very similar to, you know, if we look at the bond market, you know, the bond market's been getting throttled recently, which means, you know, the futures have been going down, which means interest rates are going high on the long end of the curve. But at the end of the day, it's probably a pretty good buying opportunity to buy bond futures down here, because what has changed from day to day? And that's all a function of volatility. And when you learn to embrace volatility and you learn to hedge on a portfolio, what you really find out is that it doesn't really matter. You don't really care. Obviously, you want the markets to go in the best direction for you to make the most amount of money. But we all know that a demise is coming, and it doesn't, who knows when. I mean, you know, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, I don't know. But I do know this, that if you're taking care of the hedging that the Badger and I talk about, and that we are going to actually offer a new subscription model, which will be groups of 10 people who want to learn to hedge your portfolio, 5 sessions, 5 1-to-1.5-hour webinars, in which we can work with each one of you individually throughout that period of time, we will be able to help you understand and put yourself in that best opportunity to create a successful trade, a successful hedge, and continue to show you how to make more money and grind out more of the endowment type of model so that you're always making money no matter what the markets are doing. Anyways, we're going to step out here for a break. But if you do have questions on that, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. And we'll be back after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we'll be right back.
John Panda, orchestrated by...
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And as you know, last Friday, well, maybe you don't know, but last Friday I was on in Mornings with Maria, with Maria Bartiromo. And, you know, we had just come off the NYSE halt and some of the other things. I want you to hear what we talked about with the NYSE halt. And then we're going to come back and talk about some of the other things that had happened. So let's go to Maria Bartiromo with me and Jolene Kent. Here we go.
Around the world this week, and it also led to, by the way, Fox Business Network's biggest day ever in our history. The New York Stock Exchange officials now blaming a botched software upgrade for Wednesday's glitch that left trading at the big board halted for nearly 4 hours. The Securities and Exchange Commission also investigating the situation. Joe, you just got back from the Allen & Company conference in Sun Valley. Was there a reaction there?
You know, I asked every single CEO who passed by. We're talking about CEO Tim Cook of Apple and on down the list. And there actually wasn't that much concern because most of all the stocks continued trading despite the fact the NYSE had this issue. And the sentiment on the ground in Sun Valley, Idaho was, Yeah, this is an issue, but everything's going fine on our end. This doesn't affect our company's stock. I think earnings are much more of the story going
and,
forward.
And I'll tell you, the knee-jerk reaction from Charlie Gasparino was right spot on, because he said this is not going to matter. There are 11 other venues to trade. That's exactly what happened. He was spot on our coverage.
And when you have the CEOs and heads of industry not that panicked, coming out of a day of secretive meetings that are off the record, and they're not necessarily keeping up with what's happening minute by minute, and if they're not concerned, that's a real indicator.
Do you do you rely on the New York Stock Exchange for your trading?
Absolutely not.
Where do you trade?
I trade at the CME, but I mean, I trade stocks, but the exchanges are no longer the same value. They
right.
don't mean
I
what
know.
They meant before, because you can go other places. You know, even I trade a lot of options. Options have 8 or 9 different exchanges you can trade them at.
Yeah.
We make markets everywhere. That's the whole electronic world now. The New York Stock Exchange is there because it's a staple.
It's a symbol.
It's a historic
place. This is the place. But they trade less volume than anybody now.
I made the point earlier in the week that when I was down on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange in the early 90s, there were 5,000 people spread around in 5 rooms. There are under 500. There are about 300 people in one room on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Why? Everything has gone electronic. Mm-hmm.
Maria, when I started trading, when the OEX opened and the CBOE opened its new building in 1984, we had 2,000 people in one pit in the OEX. It was the biggest pit in the world at the time. Now, it's a bunch of computers. Now the whole floor doesn't have 2,000 people. Between the CBOT and the CME, which is one and the same, and the CBOE, there isn't 2,000 people behind everybody.
Unbelievable.
And it's a terrible thing is what happened, but it's all now computers.
Yeah, exactly,
now we can trade from our iPhone.
Well, a lot of people lost their jobs and sort of went in different industries or ways to do things because technology certainly took over. We'll talk.
And of course, that is true, and that is the waste of the trading world. Of course, we would have never had a shutdown if we had open outcry trading. But more interesting, what I wanted to talk about here was on that same day that the NYSE was shut down, and they really handled that in a horrific fashion. I mean, I have some inside information which I cannot share, but I can tell you that they did a horrible job. And they stuck it to everybody with a total botchery of what's happening. But the same day, you had United Airlines saying, we had a computer glitch. We had to cancel all of our flights. Think about that. A computer glitch shut down United Airlines. Shut down the whole airline. I mean, it wasn't. I'm glad, you know, because obviously, as you know or don't know, that airplanes are basically flown by computers now. The pilots are mostly there for safety in case something does go wrong and you need someone to adjust for the computer. But you also have, on the same day, the Wall Street Journal had troubles with their website. So everybody says it had nothing to do with terrorists, and I'm certainly not telling you that it did, okay, because I don't know. But what I'm just saying is kind of spooky, kind of eerie, when 3 major venues, the Wall Street Journal, United Airlines, and the New York Stock Exchange, all have computer glitches on the same day. Again, I don't want to create panic, and I don't want to create anything, but it is kind of interesting when you see those things happening. Now, the New York Stock Exchange didn't have to say anything. They could have actually left the exchange open, I believe. I'm not really sure of all those working details. But if it's what they said, which was a software upgrade, why would you do a software upgrade in the middle of the week? I mean, why would you not do that over the weekend when nobody's trading? I mean, you know, that kind of, well, I don't know. That makes sense to me, right? The Wall Street Journal was really a small story there, but the big one that had to be known was United Airlines. Why? Because, well, they're canceling flights. So if they're canceling flights, that's a problem. And, of course, you know, the amount of travelers that they carry every day, that makes it a problem. But is it scary? Does it mean anything? And is there anything behind it? And, again, I do not know. I am not saying that there is or there isn't, because I really don't know. And I don't want to create anybody to think that there was definitely something. But it's just interesting because the new attack, the new fighting is done through the IT world. The new fighting is done through a lot of computers. I mean, think about it. You know, it used to be, I mean, I guess you go way back, you know, you fought with rocks and knives, you know, handmade knives. Then you moved to the muskets, and then you moved to machine guns, and then you got bombs, and now you've got computer hackers. And, of course, the damage that computer hackers can do is much greater than the lives that were lost. It's not greater if you lost a family member, but I mean, the damage that they can do in a much shorter period of time can cripple a nation when you shut them down. Because we've become so dependent on technology, and that ties back into what I think are a lot of problems in the world today. I think that because of technology, we become a group of jello heads because, you know, and I'm including myself along with that. When I used to, you know, keep appointments, I never wrote them down. I just remembered them. I remembered everybody's phone number. I didn't need my phone. Well, now, God forbid I should lose my phone now, I wouldn't know where to go. I might not know how to find my way home anymore. But that's where we've moved to. And of course, you know, now, I mean, kids 5 and 6 years old are already playing on iPads. And I like the language. I wish I knew more myself. But overall, I think what it's really done is it's taken away the personal touch. I mean, when's the last time you called something, you know, a company, and you did not get a computer voice answering the phone? Now, I can promise you, if you call me, you'll always get me live unless I'm not here. But usually I forward my phone so that you can always reach me unless I'm on TV. But my point is the whole system, the whole social status of what we're seeing is, in my opinion, is ugly. Because we're taking away some very important social skills. And big deals are still done, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, with a handshake. Okay? Look eye. You know, the Karate Kid. Look eye. I mean, you know, I want to look somebody in the eye. I was never a big techno guy. I mean, even now with all the online poker and things like that, I want to sit down at a live game. I don't want to play it online. I want to converse with real people and real dealers. I don't want to be just a math figurehead, which is what poker has become. Okay, it's become just a bunch of young kids that learn the math skills and strictly play the math. There is no more. I mean, the good part for them is that there's no emotion tied to it. And when you're trading, that's the best you can have, is no emotion tied to it. But when it comes to social skills, dating, being out in a party, you know, I don't know, kids don't date anymore. Tell me what you think. I mean, I know my kids. I've got a 21 and a 20-year-old, and, you know, they date in groups now. You know, and you know, it seems to be the normal, not the difference. You know, back when, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you went steady. That was a big step, right? But anyways, that'll do it for today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff, and we played a lot of tapes for you. And, you know, obviously, if you ever have any questions, please email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. And I'm telling you now, get yourself at least the information on hedging that portfolio of yours, because I do not want to see another repeat of 2008 for those that were through it. There's no reason for it. You can beat it. You can be better than it. But for today, I got to go. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.